Well, this morning we got into the subject of unity, and I can't thank you enough for sharing what you did just share with us, because it bears as well, like the skit, some elements of the issue of unity that we'll take a look at this morning. Just for fun, Becky, who was the leader of the meeting that we just looked at, what mistakes or errors of thought does Becky evidence about unity? Yes? Unity means there's just one person's view. That one idea. There's one way to do it. So unity is absolute uniformity.
Well, that seemed to be her idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Disagreement is wrong, and we can't have any disagreement at all. Very interesting. Life. It's not that conflict isn't going to happen.
Diversity.
Mm-hmm. That we have different ways of thinking about things, completely different perspectives about how to approach things, and we need to make room for that. And that difference often produces conflict. But conflict is part of being in the human race. So unity doesn't mean there will never be conflict. Okay? Other thoughts that, errors of thought that may have been expressed in by her view? Yes? Okay, I'll repeat it. Thank you for letting me know.
Mm-hmm.
So when a leader is in a position of authority, they can exercise authority in a wrong way. And what authority or leadership should do is make room for the differences, make room for different perspectives. Anything else along this line? What would be some better, more realistic views of participation, of handling differences, conflict? In unity. Yes. Listening. We should try that. We really should. Listening is so important to unity. Hearing each other out. Well, just for fun, let's take a look at Kim, the lone survivor of the community on Unity Society. Can you remember anything that Kim said that sounded divisive? Okay. What were her concerns? Some of the rules about the bake sale? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was told she was disagreeable. Concern. Concern for people who weren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. Because of the wrong views of conflict. Concern for the organization. It doesn't sound like anything she said was really off, does it? Seemed like she was trying to represent things well, and they sound like valid concerns. What do you think about how the way she communicated with Becky? Pretty good? She tried. She tried. Mm-hmm. Kept trying to stay on task and not maybe make it personal. That's an important thing, I think, as well. Well, we're going to take a look, and the text this morning is displayed up here for you. We'll read it together. I'd like you to think about how this could contribute to our sense of unity. Would you read together with me? How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. You know, when you look at something like this, and you might have an initial negative reaction. If you've ever gone through the pain of conflict and relationships, and relationships are full of that, They just are. They are full of that. Began to wonder about, well, who was this? Was this an only child? Did they never have trouble with anybody? And so we could look at this passage as describing an unrealistic ideal when it doesn't. It actually describes a very important ideal. Yes?
The oil business.
Sure.
Because I feel really uncomfortable.
Okay. I was hoping somebody would say something. I was going to ask you if there's something in there that you didn't understand or wonder about. Look at this picture, how good and pleasant it is. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. Okay, notice first it says it's precious oil. This was a special kind of oil. If you read in Exodus, if you read in the Old Testament, you'll realize that there was a certain kind of an anointing oil that was put on the priest's head, and that anointed them for priestly service. It was made according to a specific recipe of certain elements, and only the priest could be anointed with this precious holy oil. It was considered a sacred thing, this whole act. And so in a sense, when the writer of Psalms refers to Aaron was the head priest of Israel when Israel came out of Egypt and were going through the desert toward the promised land. He was the head priest of all the priests. And in this sense, he represents all them. The priestly sort of thing. So here's a picture of anointing. Oil in Scripture, especially this oil, is a picture of something sacred put on the head of this priest, this person. And it simplified, they're set apart for holy work. And because of this, God's Spirit is upon that person for holy work. And so this sacred oil, which was mixed with perfume, a kind of a, I'll use the word perfume, had a smell to it. And, you know, it's like certain kinds of perfume. If you're going along and you're walking along and somebody walks by and you go, whoa, that really smells good. What is that? And there are some that it's like a cloud, you know, that follows people, and you go, yee, that's a little much. But there are some that it just almost turns your head because it's so good smelling. That's what this was to the writer of this text, something wonderfully scented, something that was part of a holy ceremony, something that signified a sacred use. And it's not a far stretch here when looking at our text to say in the New Testament, we as believers in Christ have been called a holy priesthood. That in a sense, we're stand-ins now. And that there's kind of anointing, an anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes upon each person as they trust in Christ. And this anointing is meant to change and make their lives something that's beautiful, something that's pure as it was there, something that's consecrated and given to God, holy, completely given to God, something that has certain effects on people, like this aromatic effect has on people. It's a picture of it has a positive effect on persons. Now, I still don't get the idea of some stuff running, dripping down from here to here. It just It just doesn't sound wonderful. But maybe there are some things that look a little helpful. I know that I'm not wild about people that have hair slicked way back with kind of hair product and stuff like that. But that could be because I'm a little jealous. I don't have hair. But sometimes it looks really neat, debonair, doesn't it? Yes.
Precious.
I like this idea. Let's do this in excess. Let's come back to that. Yes. What's that?
Lavish.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How is unity precious? It's comforting. Yes. It's a sense of belonging. It's not being alone. Is it sometimes too rare? Sometimes it's too rare, isn't it? It's precious in that sense. When you've been, well, you know how sometimes workplaces can be catty, just dramatic, and unity is such a breath of fresh air. Someone over here. It's productive. It's precious because it's productive. You want to expand that thought just a little bit? It's productive. There's not the grind to it, is there? The ease of moving forward. It's the straight line to activity very often when we can be in unity with each other. Yes. Ken is focusing in on the blessing at the end of this psalm. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Now, some people have wondered, where is there? Is there Mount Hermon? Is there Mount Zion? Is there Jerusalem? Or is there the fellowship of God's people when they get together? And it's the fellowship. Just think about, there's a blessing here. There's a blessing that we can and do need to explore. It says, the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion. Does that kind of answer the question about the oil thing? Okay. You know, it's kind of a sort of thing, but. Mm-hmm. Now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wondered if this person was an only child. Oh, okay, so two people down here are only children. Oops. Oops. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Well, let's change the image then. If you notice, some of your Bibles will say this is a psalm of ascents. Now, an ascent is when God's people were called to come to worship, they were called to come to Jerusalem and to gather together and to worship God in these different seasons. And behind the scenes are all kinds of things. If this is David writing, was his life conflict-free? It really wasn't. It really wasn't. Can you imagine having someone after you named Saul, the king of Israel, trying to kill you, and you're running from place to place to place? And coming up with a psalm like this, during these periods of time, even as Israel came in and occupied the land, there were rifts and issues. There were issues with Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh, And all the people that chose to settle on the east side of the Jordan, those three tribes, had issues with these tribes. Later on, there was all these tribes kind of congealed into two groups of people called Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And yet they were all called to come and worship in this same place. So behind the scenes of something like this is someone who stopped and looked and knowing the tension in the room, because it hadn't gone well at times. When they observed it, they reveled in it. So it's not armchair theory here about unity. It is something that's square in our experience of life, where there are difficulties and circumstances. But yet he says it's like this beautiful picture. When they come together, it's a holy moment because God is in their midst. These are the anointed, and they're doing what God has called them to do and being what God has called them to be, that is, the people of God. Then he has this second image. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Janet and I got to be very near that location. There's on one side of the mountain, it's Caesarea Philippi. It's not a long walk from there, and it's not a long distance from Caesarea Philippi to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. So Jesus would have been familiar with seeing, and in a sense, if you're in Israel, this mountain is a hard one to miss. It's just a great large mountain. In fact, that's the only place in Israel that you can ski, and you can ski up on top of that mountain. Someone suggested this morning, do they have a bobsledding team up there? I don't know. Maybe, but anyway. This mountain figures into the life of Israel in a number of different ways. Some think that this may be the location of the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured. It's referring to this beautiful, beautiful mountain, and I'm just going to review a couple of things. There is beauty in unity. How good. It's good for human relationships and endeavors. It's individually good for us. We do better when we're in unity with others and strive toward unity. And it's a delightful thing to observe. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful in its effects. Pleasant. It's the word it used. Sometimes in the Hebrew scripture, this is used of the harmony of music, of looking at a cornfield, or the sweetness of honey. Let me illustrate just briefly about the use of harmony.
While shepherds kept their watches over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the
appreciate the harmony in that, can't you? There's a remarkable deal of harmony in that particular song. It's this word, how pleasant, is used of harmony in the musical harmony in Scripture. It is something that brings refreshment. It is something that brings nourishment. It is something that brings blessing. Now, I like the different ways it's used in Scripture because it's so part of the real world. Harmony, it's used of a field. How many of you have farmed? Okay, there's a number of people here. When you look out on your field after it's planted and you have this the wheat, for example, is all golden and it's moving in the wind. What is your sense? What's your It's a big Doesn't that look great? And it's also used of when people are with each other and work together well with each other. So it brings relief. It brings nourishment. The picture here was kind of like this. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. Up at this altitude, you see this close to 10,000 feet, Mount Hermon, that at night, all this warm, moist air that comes up off of the ocean and then out of central Israel comes up like this, and then it turns into a mist, and then dew develops, especially toward the morning. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I have on motorcycles and camping in both of those places, where the cool from the mountain comes just cascading down into the valleys, and suddenly you go, ooh, you get a chill because of that cool air. And like it shows here, dew can nourish things. Plants can just take in that nourishment directly from that kind of dew. So it's nourishing, and it's nourishing to us. And it also brings a blessing. I like how one person kind of put the whole thing into four lines. Pleasant kin persons, which is what we are, living together, unified, like precious oil on the beard, like Hermon dew on Zion. Remember the blessing. What is the blessing? Can you remember the blessing? For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So there is value. Frankly, I love the idea of God blessing my life. That's okay with me. I just say, hit me. But he has something for me to do in this process, and that is, appears to be to nurture oneness and unity. That as far as it depends on me, when I am faulty, when I fail, that I should try to make amends as soon as I could possibly do that, to make amends as soon as I can. And then secondly, to foster unity as much as I can in any and every circumstance. I'd like to invite our worship team to just come close with a song. As they do, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for helping us understand your word through this psalmist and take some stock about how we're helping and hindering others maybe experiencing the goodness and pleasure of people living in close proximity and in a cooperative way. We understand, according to your word now, that we are contributing to this holy exhibit among our family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, and that we help by the spread of unity. Do show us at times how we choke off unity by what we're doing, by our perspectives, our behaviors. Show us how our contributions are limited sometimes by the way we prejudge circumstances and even people. Help us so that our mindset can be first oriented toward you and your great design for our lives in unity. And help us also understand how to affirm and collaborate with other people. Show us how to make these refreshing effects available to us and to others. And show us in a way that we can be a blessing to you again. We call upon you to that end. Amen.